You're listening to the RPC Sermons Podcast. Today's episode is a special episode from our Lenten Facebook Live series entitled Closing the Distance. These are unscripted conversations with the pastors of RPC and various special guests reflecting on topics from our ongoing sermon series. If you're interested in learning more about this community of faith, visit roswellprez.org.
Well, hello and welcome to Closing the Distance. My name is Carrie Weatherford. I am one of the pastors here at Roswell Presbyterian. And in this podcast, we typically interview someone who either preached the Sunday before or someone who is an expert on a topic that we have discussed the Sunday before. This week, I am interviewing one of our other pastors here, Ryan Jensen. He did not preach our sermon this Sunday, but he did really lead four sermons this weekend. Ryan was our speaker for our fabulous youth extreme retreat. It's an in-town retreat where our students come. They're on campus all weekend long. They stay in church members' homes. They're their host homes. So we have a band, we have games, we have all sorts of different fun things to do. And we had the privilege this year, like I said, of having Ryan Jensen be our speaker for our students. And it was a fabulous weekend. And so today we are going to really look at the theme of Extreme Retreat and hear a little bit about how Ryan addressed the theme with the students and what all happened there. So our theme was crossroads, really looking at the crossroads of life. We used Mario Kart as kind of our decorations theme, but we're really talking about the crossroads we face in life and how, as faithful people who follow Jesus, how do we navigate those? And so Ryan just did a tremendous job. So Ryan, thanks for being here and willing to share. I'd love if you would just kick us off kind of talking about where you went with this theme, because I thought it was brilliant.
Well, I can't take credit for all that brilliance because I was told that we have, you know, the overarching theme of crossroads, but also the overarching theme of Mario. So I went home and I was talking to Laura about that. I said, how do you put these two things together? And she said, why don't we ask ChatGPT? So it would be, you would be amazed at like the amount of information it came up with. But really only all I took from that were the topics of the crossroads. And so we zeroed in on four. And I kind of brought Mario in just a little bit to acknowledge that that was also going on. But the four topics were identity, and then relationships, and then courage and perseverance to make it another day. And then the final thing was mainly forgiveness, but also reconciliation. So it kind of tied in all the three before it, acknowledging where that forgiveness and reconciliation comes from.
Mm-hmm. Which all four talks were so good and so applicable to students. And quite frankly, as someone listening as an adult, they were applicable to me too. And that's it's a difficult thing to do. I just want to take a moment to acknowledge that it is really challenging to be tasked with speaking to students who are in sixth grade all the way through 12th grade, right? You're talking, we have 11-year-olds all the way to, you know, almost 18-year-olds. And so they're in very different places in life and have different crossroads, lots of very challenging things that they're navigating, particularly this day and age. But to be able to address all of those topics for the students and meet them where they are, whether they're, you know, on the younger side or, you know, getting ready to go off and fly the coop. So kudos to you for that. Was there part of that that you thought through about how to meet all of the students where they were with these topics?
Yeah, that's certainly a big challenge because, as you said, you've got sixth grade all the way to 12th grade, and particularly when you're talking about identity, that means vastly different things to where people are developmentally, emotionally, spiritually, and all the rest. So what I wanted to make sure to do was to acknowledge, I began by introducing myself, because I thought, for some of these youth, this might be the first time that they've seen me not in a robe, not in a suit, but in jeans and a t-shirt. And so, like, who is this guy? So I told him a little bit about myself. And I told him a little bit about things that were going on when I was their age. And then I acknowledged that, things change, but things also remain the same. So we got into scripture and made sure to relate that scripture remains the same. You can read a different version of the Bible, but how you read it as a 10-year-old and a 20-year-old and a 30-year-old, it'll always approach you in different ways. So scripture was kind of the bedrock of each and every talk. So in that way, we were able to go back to the centerpiece that's unique to all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. I do appreciate that you shared scripture was the bedrock of each of your talks. One of the things I particularly found really helpful was how you had us, all of us, leaders and students, read the scripture with you. And just saying the scripture was such a helpful way for students to really take it in and pay attention to what the scripture was saying. I'll tell you, I led a group of high school girls. We talked about the scripture and they really took it in. I think it was such a good practice to say the scripture out loud, to read it all together, to really take it in. Just another way, not just hearing it, but speaking it, was so helpful. And something that it was just really meaningful. So I was grateful for that. I would love to, as you talked through the different scriptures for the different themes, I would love if you could, this might be challenging, so I apologize in advance. If you could share just the overarching kind of objective or message from each of the four talks. I mean, you've given us the titles, right? Identity, but what was the in your mind was the takeaway you wanted to happen in each of those four areas?
Right. So the thing that we were supposed to touch upon, crossroads in the way of, we're going to have difficult decisions to make. So the first one with identity, the different ways we could go, was to try to become more Christ-like or just abandon that and try to go it on our own. And what that looks like, what that means. And if we're just trying to become more Christ-like, then what are we going to, we're going to have to take something away from our current behavior, how we spend our time, our current focus. We're going to have to carve out some things to replace it with that which makes us more holy or righteous or whatever the word may be there. That was kind of the first line of thought in getting there. And I think I used an example of, I can easily go home and get onto Netflix or HBO and start binging a show. And I could spend, I think I confessed that, I'll get to the end of one episode and I think, let me just see how the beginning of the next one starts. And then I'll just watch like 5 minutes and turn it off. And before I know it, 60 minutes has gone by and I'm right there in the very same scenario. Like, I wonder how the next episode begins, and I'll stop there. And it's just time that you set aside for filling your head with not the best information.
Right. Great.
And instead to replace that with time for meditation or prayer or conversation with another.
Yeah. I thought it was great. That's also super helpful to hear that as we're in the season of Lent, which is really what we're focusing on too. So I thought it tied in so well with this particular holy and liturgical season.
Yeah, what can we give up or take on that will set us on a better path?
Yeah. No, I think that's great. And now as you continued on kind of in those other themes, were there other kind of overarching things you wanted to have takeaway or for students to take away?
Yeah, well, the first one, I think that really related to people, relationships, friendships. I think this really hit home for a lot of people just as a topic. But the crossroad was, you know, am I going to surround myself with people that will pull me down or lead me into bad decision making? Or am I going to surround myself with people who will be there for me in times of joy and sadness and grief, and people who will really lead me in a positive direction? But then I realized that I was inviting people to leave toxic people behind you. So the last day, when we're talking about reconciliation and forgiveness, I wanted to really kind of bring that back in to say, you know, sometimes we need to be the ones who are the good decision makers and to make sure that we are the leaders in that situation to bring people along and out of the depths of poor decisions or grief or despair or isolation.
Yeah, absolutely. It was good. There were a lot of good conversations that came out of those. Certainly the relationship talk, I know in our group, there was a lot of talk about how difficult that is and, you know, figuring out who are those people that you do, you know, that you can trust, et cetera. Someone in my group said, you know, I just really wish you showed an image where it was a person talking to another person and one person had toxic on their shirt. And someone in my group said, well, I really wish that it was just as easy as that I could look and say that person is not someone I can trust. But also, and we talked a lot about what that looks like and navigating that. But I loved also how you brought it back around at the end with reconciliation and forgiveness. And we talked also about how there are times where we have been those people where we've made a poor choice or let someone down and how to come back from that too, and how we need that forgiveness and we continue on to try to do our best, but also what it looks like to forgive when that happens with other people too. So it was great how you addressed both of those things and really brought it full circle.
So. Yeah, I mean, there's really complicated language that you could get into about being both a leader and a follower. And I almost went down that path, but I think the challenge for a congregation as a whole, or younger adults, older adults, you really need to kind of stay on topic and not stray too far, and you know, try to engage people.
Yep.
Because at first I thought, do I need slides? And then I thought, yes, I do need slides.
And your slides were great. I said this in our staff meeting, and so I'll you know, say this out here to the internet. You had some great pictures of you as a young person. So, you know, are you open to sharing that? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, I wanted to say, well, here's my family, you know, my wife and my two children. Here's what I look like in my family. So I'm, you know, one of three sons and I have a little sister. So, you know, had a little moment with some fellow middle children out there. But then I had a few pictures of what I looked like when I was their age. So I had my high school graduation photo. I had a picture when I was a little bit younger in a football jersey sitting on a couch. And then I had another picture of when I was on a swim team diving off of a block. And yes, I was in my Speedo. So I think context there is pretty important. So if, you know, kids go home saying we saw the picture of Pastor Ryan in a Speedo, we need to understand that I was probably 12.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
No, that it was so good though. That is, it's such a great way to relate to anyone too. When you're sharing who you are and having those points of connection, I think that was one another. I mean, obviously you were talking about identity, so it made sense, but just as an introduction, as you're coming in and setting the stage where we're going to talk about some really important things that you were able to have those points of connection in a lot of different ways with students, whether they were middle children or they're like, oh, I swam, or, oh my gosh, that he played sports and I like this, or, you know, this is a school picture kind of, I can connect with that. I have that. So it's really nice, I think, for
there were a lot of fellow swimmers out there, and you're one yourself, right?
Yep, I am. I am. Yeah. So it was really fantastic to start out with those points of connection. And again, specifically for our youth, you know, for our students to be able to be like, okay, I can connect, and connecting scripture in a really relatable way is so important. And you did such a fabulous job of it, and that's something that we are constantly trying to do. You know, this is the living word of God, and we want it to be in the hands, in the hearts of our students. And so continuing to just share scripture and the truth of that and make it accessible for students who sometimes, you know, sometimes it can be hard when you're reading. I mean, as a pastor, you know, we know sometimes I'm reading a passage going, what does this mean? I really need to study. I need to figure this out. I don't know. And where am I supposed to go with that, or go with this? And I think just making the scripture, as you said, the bedrock of your talks, but also so accessible for them where they took that, they were hearing it, they were speaking it and internalizing that scripture, and then having space to really dive deeper into that was really great.
Yeah, and some of those are pretty challenging. Like mm-hmm. on one hand, you have the Hebrews text that says, you know, talks about being a cloud of witnesses and running the race with perseverance, mm-hmm. Which is really relatable. Mm-hmm. But then there are other texts that talk about perseverance comes through suffering and pain and agony and, you know, suffering for Christ. And those, I invited people to say, I know it's there, but I don't really care for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Which really, again, allowed for great conversations in the small groups, because after your talks, we would go into our small groups and really, really talk about what our takeaways were, what our questions were, what our feelings were. And it's really important to be able to invite students into real conversations as we wrestle with scripture mm-hmm. and what does that mean? And that's also what we do together. We're wrestling with this together. We're talking through it together. And that was really powerful. So we really appreciated how you set those things up for those conversations to be able to happen.
So yeah, but before seminary, I was in youth ministry for about 6 years. And I kind of learned through that time that the most important thing, well, and it's a good lesson for ministry at large, but to be genuine and authentic and vulnerable, and that those, when you are those things, people can really connect. So, you know, I shared with kids that I'd had a panic attack before and that I struggled with anxiety because I was trying to share that, you know, sometimes you can feel like you're going through these things alone, but the more mm-hmm. that you talk with others, you'll find out that you're one of many who are going through whatever it may be, but that you can really come alongside one another instead of suffer in isolation or despair okay. or be anxious that you're so different that you'll never be able to, you know, fit in with a larger crowd.
Yeah, and that is so important for our students to know, because while we live in a world that's more connected than ever, right, with the internet and social media and all of these things that students today are having to deal with and navigate, that it's already hard enough to be a teenager, and now you've got all of these things there as well. But even though we're so connected, our students are feeling more isolated than ever because it's connected in this kind of online world, but they're alone and they can, you know, they see things on social media that make it seem like this person's perfect or everybody's doing this and I'm not. And I think
the pressures that are placed upon them are different. Mm-hmm. When I was, you know, if I got a B or a C, it was okay. But these kids are pressured to get only A's. Mm-hmm. If they're in band or athletics or fine arts, they're pressured to be the best.
Yep.
As though they're going to play for the Atlanta United one day. I mean, I've seen kids out there with personal trainers running with a parachute behind them, and they're 10.
Mm-hmm.
But just, you know, also the things that they have to worry about. We never had active shooter drills when we were, we would have never have dreamed about that, but now it's commonplace.
Yep, absolutely. So again, with all of these pressures that students are feeling and facing and the many different crossroads they find themselves at, the way that, you know, and I think the point of the weekend was really, you know, having them come together in community to know that they're part of this community, to read scripture together, to know the truth, so that they could take that with them. And that really was, I think, what happened. You really were able to do that through your talks. God certainly was at work. And we even had them take, you know, the bricks that are kind of in Mario, those bricks. And we talked about the bricks that they might have, those pressures that they feel like are burdens for them. And they were able to write those things on those bricks and then release them into the fire.
Yeah, go
burn them. there was supervision with the fire.
With the multiple fires in our parking lot. That was fun. But yeah, I mean, all those things too were kind of related to the crossroads of, you know, will we have the courage and perseverance to make it one more day, one more year?
Mm-hmm.
And if we do, where does it come from?
Yeah.
And that sometimes we feel like quitting or giving up. And I shared my experience from trying to pastor a church through COVID. And I confess that I felt like quitting. But one mm-hmm. particular Sunday, it wasn't working.
Yep. And I think so many people can relate to that. And again, you sharing, you being so transparent and vulnerable and authentic, not only allowed people to connect and it was relatable, but it also allowed for people then, it set the stage for people to be able to go into these groups in this community and be transparent and authentic and vulnerable and share things that are really real for them too. So I think you modeled it so well for our students. I want to switch gears here a little bit for our ending time though, because we've certainly talked about kind of the meat of the weekend, right? We had, we were looking at these crossroads and how God leads us and all of the scripture. There's also a lot of fun and chaos and extreme things. This was your first extreme retreat at Roswell Pres, and it is just that. It's pretty extreme. I'd love to know, like, what did you expect when you went in? Is this what you expected? What was the most surprising or most fun thing that you experienced?
I was blown away by how well done the whole thing was. I mean, there was anywhere from what people talked about and the smaller games that people played. But I mean, RPC went big with everything. The whole event. I mean, you had a band with interchangeable members and they were really good.
Mm-hmm.
And so the music was phenomenal. The leadership was phenomenal. The amount of volunteers it took to pull this off, and that we had everybody kind of plugged in to make it happen. People, you know, host homes, what they provided for those kids in those special times. you know, giving them an allowance to maybe go out to Target or Waffle House. I was glad to join a Waffle House crew out there. And it just took a lot of planning, a lot of detail. I mean, you had about 100 kids here. And how many volunteers would you guess?
I mean, so kind of two sets of volunteers. There were volunteers that were, you know, doing the whole weekend, host homes or leaders right. of groups. And so, gosh, we had about probably, oh, I don't know. If you have host homes, so you have host homes leaders, and then we had church members that came in to do the fire pits, to be room facilitators for our amazing amazing Rainbow Road Race. Yeah. All of those things. I mean, well over 50.
Yeah, I was telling my son Knox, he's 10, so he's too young to come. And I was telling him, you know, we have some inflatables. And at first he was, you know, not surprised, but I told him, you know, they took up the whole gym. They took up the whole, you know, Alderman Hall.
The parking
These things
lot.
Were giant. Yeah. I mean, one was an obstacle course. Another was a Hungry Hippos where you're attached to a cord and you're trying to leap into the middle. Inflatable axe throwing. I mean, I didn't even know there was such a thing.
Yeah. This is a little PSA for everyone out there. For those folks that are over 40, like me, the Hungry Hungry Hippos, where you're attached to the cord, could, you know, result in injury and back pain that is still ensues.
I lost some skin on the obstacle course.
Yeah.
I tried to flip down the slide that's at the very end, and I remembered that I'm 50, I'm not 30.
Yeah, I'm in some pain. We were playing Hungry Hungry Hippos the right way. And then the girls that I was with, we were then making the little like barriers in between hurdles. And so we were seeing how many we could hop over while still attached to the cord. Anyway, at that crossroads, I made a poor decision to try to jump over those hurdles as many as I could. And I am paying the price.
When we could do that, you know?
Right.
Or at least I do.
Right back there. Yeah. Oh, no. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Ryan, I am so grateful that you were willing to speak and just share so faithfully with our students. Thanks for being here and sharing your experience at Extreme Retreat. I don't want to end this podcast without saying thank you to our amazing youth staff, Carrie Irwin, Jamie Hendricks, Laura Thompson, and all of our amazing volunteers and our youth council. They worked so hard to make this weekend one to remember, one where students could come in and encounter and experience God in a real way. So it was just a beautiful partnership between you and them and everyone who worked together to make this weekend so special and meaningful.
You guys did the hard work. I just got to come in and enjoy the benefits of all the labor because there was so much planning that went into this weekend. And I also want to lift up a great deal of praise for our facilities crew.
Oh, thank you for saying that.
Because people had come in on a Sunday and saw what was there only hours before, they might have been a little alarmed, but it looked like very little had happened. You would never have imagined the chaos, the organized chaos that we had. Mm-hmm. And it was just a fun place.
It was. I'm so glad that you said that because I want to scream from the rooftops how blessed and fortunate we are. We have the most amazing facility staff who goes above and beyond and keeps this space just in its best shape so that it can be used for ministry. So their ministry is really impactful and powerful and the reason we can do all the things that we do. So I shout out to them. We're so grateful for them. Thank you, Ryan, so much for being here today and sharing all that you shared. It was good to kind of debrief and think back over the weekend. It was such a good time.
Well, any parents out there who have kids who might be able to come next year, I would highly recommend it.
My son gets to start next year. He cannot wait. So I'm really excited.
I'm sure.
All right. Thanks so much, Ryan.
Thank you, Carrie.
All right. Bye-bye.